The staff spotted bruises on the toddler and they called social services after one incident when his mum came to pick him up.
He turned around, looked at her, and the feeling that you had was just horrific. It was like he was just frightened.
Have you ever seen anything like that?
In my whole 10 years of being in this private nursery, I have never, ever seen anybody look at their mother like that.
When he died, we knew that it was bad, but we didn't have any idea of the level that it was actually at. And it's really heartbreaking to think that we were sending that little boy home to that every day.
Welcome back. I'm Cassie, and this is A Wicked World. The story I have for you today is one about unspeakable torture and unnecessary cruelty to not just one child, but three children. And the two little boys who survived it all helped to get justice for their little brother by bravely recounting the details of what they had gone through at the hands of these monsters. This is the story of Liam Fee. Liam Fee was born on August 12, 2011 to Rachel Trelfa and Joseph Johnson in Wrighton, which is a village in Tyne and Wear, England. He had two older twin brothers, and Liam was said to be a happy-go-lucky little boy who loved to dance and play with other children. Liam's parents met in 2005 and quickly moved in together. In 2007, they had the twin boys, and then, a few years later in 2011, they would have Liam. But only a few months after Liam was born, in December of 2011, Rachel left Joseph for a woman named Naomi Fee. And in January 2012, the two, who were both unemployed, moved to Thornton Fife, Scotland. But only 4 months after Rachel had left Joseph for Naomi, she went back to Joseph, trying to fix things and telling him that Naomi treated her badly. The couple's attempt at reconciliation did not work, however, and soon Rachel was bouncing back to Naomi in Scotland and bringing her three boys with her. At this point, Rachel also stopped Joseph from seeing his children altogether. Liam had a babysitter named Heather Farmer who lived in Fife, and she began watching him out of her home in July of 2012. When Heather first started watching Liam, he was happy, loved to sing, and play with other children. But soon, he started to become withdrawn and quiet. Heather also started to notice bruises on Liam's body. She really began to worry that somebody was hurting Liam at home when he showed up to her house one day in January of 2013 with scratches and bruises on his face. This was only shortly after he had showed up at her house a few days prior with a bruised forehead and a black eye. So she had contacted the Scottish Child Minding Association to report this. When Heather had asked Rachel, Liam's mother, where the injuries had come from, she told her that he had just fallen out of his cot. So while Heather didn't necessarily know if Rachel was abusing her son, she did know that she was at least being neglectful towards him. Heather would later say that sometimes she would become so worried about Liam that she couldn't even sleep at night. So around the same time that the Child Minding Association was contacted by Heather, a social worker was assigned to Liam's case. But the social worker, as well as the police officer who went out to the Fee's home to check on things, both accepted the plausible explanation given by Rachel and Naomi that he had simply just bumped his head. So nothing further was done. Then in April of 2013, the social worker who was assigned to Liam's case would fall ill and have to take a lot of time off of work. And while she was out, no other social worker was assigned Liam's case. So it just fell off the radar. Around the same time, Heather told Rachel and Naomi that she could no longer watch Liam. And while she didn't say it directly, it was because she didn't feel like she could trust the pair any longer. Once Heather was gone, Liam began going to Sunshine Private Nursery in Kirkcaldy. He would go there 2 days a week, but soon the nursery staff noticed that Liam was coming in with bruises and one time a swollen lip. When this was brought up with Liam's mother, Rachel, she told them that he was self-harming by pinching himself, and she thought it was because he was autistic, though she had zero proof of that. But nursery workers also noticed that Liam seemed rather scared of his mother, and then one day, he also came in with a black eye. After that, they contacted social services as well to report their concerns. However, once Rachel got wind of this report that had been made, she burst into the daycare and immediately withdrew Liam. So the social worker who was assigned to investigate these allegations that were made by the nursery decided that the marks on Liam's body were not made by an adult, and she accepted the explanation that he was self-harming at 2.
Rachel and Naomi went to great lengths to cover their crimes, and few people ever knew Liam, but he did go to nursery.
This is his favourite area. He likes to play men in a small world, little cars, things like that.
His teachers told me about the 2-year-old they saw.
His smile was infectious. As soon as you seen him, you felt yourself wanting to smile because he was so happy to see people.
But the staff spotted bruises on the toddler and they called social services after one incident when his mum came to pick him up.
He turned around, looked at her, and the feeling that you had was just horrific. It was like he was just frightened.
Have you ever seen anything like that?
In my whole 10 years of being in this private nursery, I have never, ever seen anybody look at their mother like that.
When he died, we knew that it was bad, but we didn't have any idea of the level that it was actually at. And it's really heartbreaking to think that we were sending that little boy home to that every day.
This is the house where Liam died. A social worker actually called here, along with police, when Liam's nursery complained about the injuries he had on his body. But they were told Liam had simply bumped his head. They accepted that explanation, then left. The social worker then went off sick. No one was assigned as cover, and this family were left unmonitored.
When Liam was subsequently brought in for a medical examination, the fact that he had been losing weight was not even noted, and child abuse and neglect was not at all suspected at the time. Then in September of 2013, a woman named Patricia Smith, who knew the family, also got in touch with social workers after she had seen the family outside one day. Liam had been sitting in his carriage and he had a blanket over his head. When she was able to see his face, she said he looked awful and she didn't know if he was drugged or dead. Not long after that, one of Liam's brothers also obtained a foot injury, which was left untreated until he eventually had to be hospitalized for it. A neighbor reported this injury to a social worker, but never heard anything further. Then on the night of March 22nd, 2014, shortly before 7:30 p.m., neighbors of the family heard shouting and hysterical crying coming from their flat. And less than a half hour later, a 999 call would be placed by Naomi, saying that Liam was unresponsive. First responders arrived at the home at 8:03 p.m., and they noticed that Liam's body had already started to stiffen, which means he had not just died, as the two women were claiming. Now, Naomi and Rachel had also concocted a story for the first responders as well as police. They claimed that Rachel had been out that evening, and Naomi had put Liam to bed early. She then went up to check on him around 7 p.m. and let out a blood-curdling scream when she found him lifeless and pale. As the first responders were attending to Liam, Rachel brought out one of Liam's older brothers and pushed him in front of officers, demanding that he tell them what he had done to his little brother. When he didn't say anything, Rachel told police that he had been the one who suffocated Liam. This older brother would be brought down to the police station later for questioning, and once there, he admitted that he did kill Liam. He said it was because his little brother was getting more attention than he was, and he was jealous. However, later when Liam's autopsy was completed, it was clear that he had not died of asphyxiation. When Liam's body was examined, it was discovered that the toddler's heart had ruptured due to multiple blows to his chest. The pathologist found that he had more than 30 different injuries, including a fractured thigh bone and a fractured arm. Liam's injuries were similar to those found in car crash victims who had suffered severe blunt force injury. The autopsy also determined that his body weight was extremely low, even lower than it had been 8 months prior. Not long after his initial confession, Liam's older brother would say that he had made up the entire story and he had not killed Liam. He said that that day, Naomi had actually dragged him into his little brother's room and shown him Liam's lifeless body, saying, "Look what you did to him." He said that Naomi then grabbed his hand and shoved it into Liam's mouth, saying, "You killed Liam," trying to leave traces of the boy's DNA behind so they could blame him later. Police began to search through Naomi and Rachel's internet search history, and they found some pretty damning evidence. Days before Liam had died, the pair had used Google to look up morphine for children, Can social services access my home? Will a hip fracture heal on its own? Can wives go to prison together? And can you die from a broken hip? So clearly Liam had sustained some of his injuries days before his death, which would have left him in great agony. But instead of getting him medical attention, the pair had then Googled, how long can you live with a broken bone? With evidence building up against them, a few weeks after Liam's death, both Rachel and Naomi were interviewed separately as suspects. But for some reason, they would not be arrested in connection with Liam's death until August of that year. Immediately following Liam's death, police had executed a search warrant for the Fees home, and they found all kinds of evidence of torture and abuse that had been going on there. Among the items were a heavy metal chain and a metal fire guard, along with cable ties and belts that had been used to construct a cage. In the home, many pet rats, snakes, and dogs were found. A SPCA investigator entered the home and removed at least a dozen snakes alone. Once police spoke with Liam's twin brothers, it was clear that Naomi and Rachel had been carrying out sustained attacks on all three boys for years. So both of Liam's brothers were questioned separately over the course of a few weeks by a social worker as well as a police officer. Gradually, they became less withdrawn and less frightened, and they started to tell their story. One child spoke about being forced to spend the night in a makeshift cage with his hands tied behind his back by cable ties. He also said that his hands and feet, which had been bound by these cable ties, would swell up so much that Naomi would call him pudding hands. Well, I don't really know what that means, but... On one occasion, the boy had been tied to a bed in Naomi and Rachel's room, and there were snakes in that room. Naomi had told him that the boa constrictor ate little boys. Frightened, this boy had hatched an escape plan and attempted to escape from the home three times, but he was caught each time, brought back, and beaten. He also spoke about how Naomi would punch him as well as press her foot down on his neck so hard that he would black out or sometimes see very bright lights. This had been the little boy who also had a foot injury of January of 2014, but in addition to not getting him timely medical care, Rachel and Naomi had also stepped on and squeezed his injured foot. Both of the boys would also say that they were forced to take cold showers if they ever wet the bed, which was inevitable because Naomi and Rachel would not let them leave their bedroom after they had been put to bed for the night to go pee. Liam's other brother recalled having to eat dog feces, his own vomit, and having his soiled underwear rubbed in his face. At one point, Naomi had also shown one of the boys a drill-type device and told him that she was going to cut off his private parts with it. She had also shown this same child a sawing-type machine and told him that she had used it to kill his father. On one terrifying occasion, the pair even put a cage filled with rats on top of the boy's head. And there were even more accusations made by Liam's brothers about the abuse and torment they went through. This abuse was extreme and endless. Neighbors told police that they had not seen the boys outside in months, and when they had previously seen them, the women tried to pass off Liam's injuries as being self-inflicted and because he had autism. Detectives were getting the idea that Rachel and Naomi were very, very close, and the children were simply an inconvenience to them. Even as all this evidence was coming to light, Naomi's mother, Janice Fee, was proclaiming that her daughter was innocent. She claimed that she knew every single thing that happened on the night that Liam died. And I'm sure she did, because that night, Naomi had placed calls to her at 7:36 p.m., 7:42 p.m., and 7:44 p.m. Though, these calls were later deleted before Janice had to hand her phone over to police. Then at 8:50 p.m., there was another phone call that went through from Naomi to Janice, and Janice claims that this was the phone call where she first found out that Liam had died. Okay, sure. Rachel and Naomi's trial started in April of 2016 in a high court in Livingston. The couple was charged with Liam's murder as well as willfully ill-treating, neglecting, and abandoning Liam in a manner likely to cause him unnecessary suffering or injury. Between January and March of 2014 when he died, the couple had actually left Liam in a dark room without any physical or mental stimulation, and they would also drug him to get him to go to sleep. They were also charged with failing to get him medical help in a timely manner. and they were charged with cruelty and neglect towards the other two boys. Both Rachel and Naomi, of course, denied these allegations. The judge told the women that they had grossly abused their parenting responsibilities, causing appalling physical and mental harm to Liam, and they had shown no remorse. During the course of the trial, the jury learned about the relentless abuse that the boys had suffered as they listened to more than 20 hours of recorded interviews with the two surviving boys. They also heard how Naomi and Rachel originally tried to blame one of the boys for Liam's death. Jurors were also shown pictures of Liam's thigh bone that had been snapped in half. Several members of the jury were reduced to tears as a police video showing the toddler's body was viewed by the court. When it was her turn to give evidence, 28-year-old Naomi Fee told the court that Liam was never punished at home because there was no need to. But she also said that she was concerned with Liam's behavior once she noticed he had become more withdrawn and was, again, self-harming. She claimed that Liam's behavior had only started after one of his older brothers had begun to display sexualized behavior towards Liam. She said ever since then, little Liam was never the same. So first they blamed the poor kid for killing Liam, and now since that didn't work, they're blaming the kid for sexualizing him to still try to get the blame off of them somehow. Naomi also told the jury that Liam would freak out if she wasn't the one to go into his room first. He would not accept anyone else going in and would throw himself on the floor, bite his fingers, and scratch himself. Now, another thing that came out in court is that Naomi had actually run a toddlers group up until 2011, and she admitted that she had smacked other children who had been in her care, though she never intended to expose them to any danger, she said. Naomi and Rachel also tried to claim that they had sought help from medical advisors in regards to Liam's concerning behavior. Another thing that had concerned them was that Liam had recently become attached to a blanket that he would hide under, and Naomi thought this was because he was autistic and trying to avoid people. He was actually probably trying to hide from them and his horrible life. Poor thing. There was also another elaborate story that was given about one night in February of 2014. Rachel and Naomi had apparently woken up in the middle of the night to find one of the older boys fashioning a rope in order to escape. The reason why he was doing this, Naomi said, was because he had hurt Liam. And when they went into Liam's room to check on him, he had a cut on his head. So they said. When Naomi was questioned as to why she had not sought medical help for Liam's snapped thigh bone, she said it was because she thought Rachel might leave her. Apparently, Rachel had threatened to end the relationship if she called anyone for any type of help. And when the prosecution asked her, "You thought he might die and you did nothing?" Her reply back was, "Yes." During cross-examination, Naomi, who was still denying causing any of the injuries to Liam herself, finally accepted that his leg injury had happened while he was in her care, sometime before his death. She said that she just did not know he was in so much agony and desperately needed help. Yeah, okay, I'm sure you didn't. Because he wasn't crying at all, right? The court heard that from March 17th to March 20th, Naomi had searched the internet for symptoms of broken legs, broken hips, and blood clots. In the 999 call, which was played to the court, a distressed Naomi could be heard sobbing and saying, "Oh God, oh God," and "Please, please," as she claimed she was attempting to perform CPR on Liam with the help of the operator. She would also say on this call, trying to blame Liam's brother for his death, "He held his mouth closed. He said he held his mouth closed and his neck because he was crying, because he was trying to hurt him." Both women claimed that they were absolutely devastated and in shock when they realized that Liam was dead that day. Clearly, so much so that the panicking pair had enough time to dismantle their makeshift cage before they called 999. With that, they showed a wicked indifference to whether the vulnerable little Liam lived or died, the prosecution said. They also said that even though it was not clear which woman had struck him with the fatal blow, they had both joined in a course of violent and cruel treatment towards the children. When the 7-week trial came to an end on May 31st, 2016, it only took the jury 10 hours to decide that Naomi and Rachel were guilty on all 8 charges. Both women were rather emotionless as the verdict was read. Liam's father, Joseph, however, was in tears and had to be consoled by friends. Liam's case had been so awful to hear that the judge also excused the jury from any duty for the next 10 years. After the trial and prior to their sentencing, Naomi's mother, Janice, still was claiming that her daughter and Rachel were innocent, saying that they loved the boys. Janice, who had gone to the trial, also claimed that much of the evidence had been misrepresented. When it was time for their sentencing hearing in July of 2016, Rachel was sentenced to serve a minimum of 23 and a half years behind bars, while Naomi was sentenced to 24 years. Both women had been expected to be kept at Corton Vale Prison, but Rachel was transferred to Sawton Jail in Edinburgh shortly before they were sentenced. Both women were apparently fuming about the transfer, because while they were at Corton, even though they were not in the same jail cell, they had been allowed to see each other during recreational time. I'm glad they separated them. They have no right to be happy at all.
You didn't see Liam. You wouldn't even know he existed, to be honest with you. He always had this blanket over him. Well, why does he keep himself covered all the time? Because he doesn't like to interact with any other people because he gets upset. Monsters, that's all I could really say is, I can't even say them, can't even call them parents because parents don't do that to their kids.
There was like no emotion in them. They weren't bothered. They were sort of laughing, joking on that they were going to get sent to jail for neglect. Because they knew they were getting done with neglect anyways, they were saying. But laughing and joking on, like, do you think we'll get the same cell together? Stuff like that, like.
A few weeks prior to Liam's death, there had been concerns raised to Child Services from a staff member at Victoria Hospital. A social worker who was in the area had been sent out to the Fees home after this to check on Liam. But once the social worker was there, the two women refused to let him into Liam's room where they said he was. They told him that Liam suffered from autism, and if a strange man went into his room, he would be inconsolable for hours afterwards. So he didn't see the toddler at all that day. Had he, maybe he would have seen the awful condition that Liam was in and been able to save him. Due to this oversight, as well as many others in Liam's case, a significant case review was launched after Rachel and Naomi were convicted. This report would conclude that there was a lack of professional curiosity into Liam's case. Explanations for Liam's injuries that had been provided by both women to social workers had been accepted without challenge multiple times. In addition, existing available information in regards to Liam's case was neither reviewed or considered before making decisions in regards to his well-being. A social worker named Leslie Bate, who was involved in Liam's case, was found guilty of misconduct by the Scottish Social Services Council. It upheld 12 charges against the former social worker, and she would end up being barred from social care work. The findings against Leslie included that she had failed to report a number of visits, failed to properly assess risks, and failed to report cases to other support teams. In a number of cases, including Liam's, all of this had amounted to neglect on her part. This social worker, Leslie, was said to be intimidated by Naomi and did not like to visit the home. Instead, she would call the Fees into her office when she needed to speak with them. Leslie was also said to be very disorganized and did not keep clear records at all. The thing is, Leslie was not the social worker who was involved with Liam's case in the period before his death. She had actually been the social worker who had gone off sick back in April of 2013. His case had not been passed on to another social worker, so while Leslie knows that she made some mistakes herself, she does not think she should be the only one being blamed. A memorial bench paying tribute to Liam Fee was installed in a park located in Fife. A fundraising campaign for the bench raised over £800, a little over $1,000. The bench was installed in the Thornton Memorial Park in Thornton, near the children's play area. Well, thank you for listening to all of Liam's story today. What these three boys went through was absolutely horrific, and his two older brothers are lucky to have made it out of that house alive. These women are absolutely vile. And I heard that Naomi, after her trial, was bragging about being the top girl in jail. It's outrageous and infuriating that she and Rachel killed Liam, but it would now be made even worse if they were enjoying their lives in any way. They deserve to go through the same torture that they put those three boys through day in and day out. So, if you do like true crime and you want to hear from me, then don't forget to hit that subscribe button below. And Turn on your notifications too, so you'll know when I upload a new video, which is 2 to 3 times every week. Thanks for watching A Wicked World today. Until next time, take care, guys. Bye. Thank you for being patrons of A Wicked World. Adina, Alana, Allie, Amanda, Amber Lee, Amy, Angela, Angie, Brandy, Brother Mike, Carrie, Catherine, Cecilia, Celia Cruz, Shantae, Claire, Danielle, Danny J, Drew, Emily, Eric, Frank, Georgia, Haley, Hanorama, Hannah, Jackie, Jen, Jennifer, Josie, Kara, Christy, Kristen, Lori, Lindsay, London, Mandy, Marion, Mary, Mel, Melissa, Mimi, MJ Kelly, Neoma, Nikki, Owen, Ray, Robin, Sharon, Starlit Sky, Stephanie O, Stephanie T, Susan, Suzanne, Tamra, Tammy B, Tammy S, The Huntsman, Tracy UK, and Whisper 216. You guys rock. Now, there's even more of A Wicked World on Patreon. So check it out at patreon.com/awickedworld or use the Patreon app. You'll have access to exclusive videos each month and more. Any support truly helps to make sure the victims never get forgotten and to highlight the shortcomings of society associated with each case. Do you have a suggestion for a case you'd like to see me cover? If so, send me an email at awickedworldtruecrime@gmail.com.